coming to you live from Central Texas. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? This is Let's Talk, and it is Fun Friday on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and if you want to join in the conversation this evening, no problem. Give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join me in the chat room. Just sign into your Facebook page, MySpace, or whatever you want to sign into. And join me in the chat room. We can have a conversation there. You can follow me on Twitter at DrivenForLife62, or F-O-R. And, of course, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. So those are all the ways you can get in contact with me this evening. And let's see. It is Friday night. It's kind of rainy here. You know, so it ain't like it's the best weather, but it's raining. And, you know, there's some other things that we need to talk about now. You know, I'm waiting for a certain council member to show up because I need to talk to him about this. I really do. But, you know, the first thing we want to talk about tonight is we want to send, you know, our prayers out to the people in Connecticut, you know, the little kids, the families, and, you know, everybody that was hurt and lost someone dear. You know, that's why I tell y'all every time I sign off, man, to make sure you hug that someone and see that someone, tell them, you know, you love them, they special. Because like I always say, you never know when they won't be here. And there's going to be a lot of things you wish you had said that you didn't say. You know, and sometimes, you know, as humans, we forget. Yeah, we forget to tell that someone until it's too late. And then we go through the rest of our life, you know, regretting what we didn't say. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, I really think that's what some of you should do. You know, make sure that's what all of you should do. Now, let's talk about this thing that happened today. Let's see. Man kills 26 at Connecticut school, including 20 kids. Okay, so let's see. 20-year-old Adam Lanza, that's how you pronounce it, opened fire inside two classrooms at the Connecticut Elementary School where his mother was a teacher, killing 26 people, including 20 children. The gunman was believed to suffer from a personality disorder and lived with his mother in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. No, a second law enforcement official said his mother, Nancy Lanza, was presumed dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That he was presumed dead. And let's see. And him and his mother lived in a well-to-do part of Newton. I guess that's in Connecticut, where neighbors are doctors or hold white-collar positions at companies such as General Electric, Pepsi, and IBM. Now, you know, I'm not advocating, you know, total gun control, but what I am saying, when we have gunmen going in killing little innocent children, something needs to be done. And I'm saying, yes, something needs to be done. You know, and you know what makes me mad about this whole thing? I'm going to tell you that the son of a gun had the nerve to kill itself, you know? You know, the families have no way of getting justice or seeing this man put to death or something. You know, you killed some of these parents' kids. You know, I can only imagine how some of these parents are feeling going up to that school. You know, seeing every other parent grab their kid and hug their kid and kiss their kid, but yet their kid is no longer here with us. You know, that is really something that it's horrible. You know, then we had the Belcher case. You know, then we had, what's the other one? The Batman shooting. I mean, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not advocating complete gun control, but we need to do something with what we got going on now because it's not working. It's really not. No, and like I said before, it's bad when you go ahead and kill human, I mean grown-ups, but now you're killing kids, our children. Our children. And for all y'all who's around here talking about your Second Amendment rights or whatever, hey, I'm not saying totally, completely, you know, give up the guns, but we need to do something about it because something's not working now. It's not working. I see I got a caller. Let me see what we got on the line here tonight. Welcome to Fun Friday. What's on your mind?
You might ask.
How did I not know it was you?
Yeah. How come you're starting an hour later?
I'm not starting an hour later. It's always 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Yeah. 8 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Uh-huh.
You know. Your clock need to get fixed.
I don't think so.
Okay, right.
So I'm glad you're bringing up the slaughter of the at the Newton Elementary School.
Yeah.
We need more guns to protect people from that kind of slaughter.
Well, now we need more guns.
That's right. We need more guns. In Israel, they have guns in the classroom.
Mm.
Either in the classroom or very close by, I forget which. I presume only the teachers have access to them. But guns, in Switzerland, every household has at least three guns, like semi-automatics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Joe, now here's my thing. If we put guns in the classroom, now I know what your theory is. If guns are in the classroom, they can defend themselves if somebody come in shooting.
Right.
Now, here's a situation. What happens if we start having a lot of incidents where the kids are getting in there, you know, shooting accidentally, shooting classmates, maybe even teachers?
No. They're not going to have, you know, quick access to the guns. It's for the teachers. But let's say that some kids do get in there and have guns. Well, those are moronic kids. Those are, you know, juvenile delinquents, demented kids.
Hmm.
But what would you, you know, but if you don't have the guns, then, you know, like this guy, they're going to find out he was on some kind of LSD or some other type of psychotropic drug.
Well, say he possibly had a personality disorder.
Yeah, well, he had to be a nut job in order to do what he did.
Yeah. Look, you know, like I was saying Thursday, or was it Wednesday, even one of them days, you know, here's the thing. They do all this killing, take these people away from their family, and what do they do? They kill themselves, you know? And you know, I think besides killing the children, that pisses me off more than anything because they're not man enough, you know, to stand trial for what they did. You know, killing yourself is the pussy way out. I'm sorry, I ain't saying kitty cat today. It's after 8 o'clock. It's the pussy way out, to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know. Mm-hmm. There have been instances where a family member has been killed, and then the person has been tried. Then the person goes to jail. But the mother and the father, they think that, you know, the person should have gotten a life sentence. I'm not a life sentence, but should have gone on death row, you know, and got executed. At least this way, the person kills himself. You don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to get the death penalty or not.
Hmm. Okay, I see the logic in what you're saying. I do, but I like it my way better.
You know what?
Mm-hmm. If anything, I say, you know, catch them alive,
mm-hmm.
and we take them somewhere and have all the parents, you know, in this case, all the parents that lost kids in his shooting,
mm-hmm.
should stone his ass.
Well, if he, I don't know. You know why? Because I don't like to have a culture full of legitimized barbarism.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, remember, there are a lot of people who've been convicted of murder, rape, and other atrocious crimes, but who are innocent. So if we have that kind of mentality, though, and if we don't take the time to find out whether or not these people are actually innocent or not, then we'll be stoning and killing and labeling and humiliating a lot of innocent people.
Joe, how you say if these people are innocent? You know, if you catch them right there in the act, yes, they're, I mean, you already know they're guilty.
If you catch them in the act, yeah, but there have been, I think because of the Innocent Project, I think 44 people who have been found innocent because of DNA. They've been in jail for like 13, 14, 15, 20 years. I think a few have been on death row, but because they didn't have good DNA technology way back when, they got convicted, and 90% of them were black people.
Yeah. Well, you know, and okay. You know, a lot of that back in the day was just downright, you know, racism. You going to pin it on anyone back then? You know, if you find some black guy walking down the street, hey, let's pin it on him, because it wasn't nobody really going to complain or fight about it. You know, but this right now, it's just totally different. I mean, look. This boy, he lived in a white collar, a high status neighborhood. You know, where everybody in the neighborhood held white collar positions or were doctors.
Mm.
You know, at companies like General Electric, Pepsi, IBM. You know, and you know, I think if we really go back and look, a lot of the shooters or whatever, it comes from this kind of background. So my question is, what is really going on with that?
Well, it's been shown, I don't know if it's been proven definitely, but it's been shown that people can be hypnotized into doing these kind of crimes. I personally think that the government may have a hand in it, because supposedly, according to some sort of declassified document, Saran Saran, the guy that shot Bobby Kennedy, he was supposedly influenced by the CIA. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. The thing is that I don't trust our government, because our government has done too many crimes against the people. And so, in order to disarm the people, all they have to do is have a false flag or a few false flags, just like the one that happened today, and then people will be screaming, "More gun control, more gun control, check the guns out of the hands of the criminals, blah, 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 blah." And then we're all disarmed, and then it'll be easy for the government to take over America.
So your solution to the problem is allow more guns.
Yeah. And the other part of the solution is to investigate the government more thoroughly, but I don't think that's going to happen, because I'm going to think that the FBI or whatever agency might be assigned the job of investigating the government, and I don't think there is, would be funded by the government. So in case they ever got close to really revealing that the bastards in Congress are truly traitors, they would have their funding cut, and they wouldn't be able to carry on any more investigations. But don't trust the government. The government has done a lot of atrocities against the American people.
You know what? I can actually believe that. I can actually believe that. But Joe, we got to do something, because this is, you know what? It's like it's the fashionable thing to do now. You know, with these kids, you know, go and get a gun and just go and shoot up something. I mean, a mall, a school. Elementary school, you know, the movie theater.
Yeah, but those are three instances in how many years? The thing is, you could die. More people will probably die of a fall in the bathtub than they will by
those were all this year.
Yeah, but over the course of time, it's still, the statistics show that you will probably die of a fall in the bathtub than you will of this crap. And who's to say that what happened this year, because these guys committed suicide after they started shooting and everything like that, that it wasn't done by the government?
I don't know about that one, Joe. I don't know. You know, I think maybe, well, I guess you can't say you can't publicize it, because somebody's going to let it out regardless. I mean, you know, could it be? I don't have no idea. No, I mean, and you know what? Maybe it is something got to do with the government.
But let's say even if it's not the government, let's just say it's the normal way of life that these kids, for some reason, maybe took some LSD or smoked pot, and pot isn't going to do this crap. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, these kids were just plain nut jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You still can't use that as justification to take away a person's right to have a firearm. Because if you do, then the people who are committing the crimes, they're still going to have guns. And then they're going to hunt down the people who don't have guns.
Okay, I understand that. Okay. So basically what you're saying is they would go ahead and, make people, regular people, easier targets if they just took all the guns away.
Yep.
Okay, that's a valid point. It really is. So if that's the case, then what do we do, Joe?
Don't take away our right to have guns.
Well, I don't think nobody's going to take away the right to have guns.
Well, they're trying. They've been trying for years. You got to get a permit to get a concealed weapon or a non-concealed weapon. Everybody should just be allowed to have guns. Maybe you don't want to bring them into the school, but kids out in the country, they're good shots. They take their shotguns, they take their little 22s, and they go shooting at rabbits and beer bottles and target practice, and then when they get older, they shoot, they go hunting. It's our right. It's part of American culture. And the reason why is to protect ourselves from government having guns.
Okay.
And to protect ourselves from criminals. If you live in a neighborhood where you know no one has a gun, and you're a burglar, and you're a real psychotic burglar, you're a killer, you're a home invasion asshole with guns. Now, if you have two neighborhoods to choose, you know, one neighborhood, everybody's got a gun. The other neighborhood, nobody's got a gun. Which neighborhood do you think even a demented person is going to choose?
The neighborhood with no guns.
Yeah. Like I've said before, there have been two instances that people have told me, but I haven't checked it out, but let's say they were. These kind of instances, nobody goes into a police station and starts shooting it up, except maybe two instances. Now, why is that? I mean, as crazy as all these people are, why do they go to a school? Why do they go to a mall? Why do they go to a theater? Because they know nobody's got a gun. Nobody's going to go to a cop, I mean, to a police station, start, you know, shooting it up. But then, who do you think they are, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Okay, so if that's the case, then we just go ahead and make it like the Wild Wild West. Everybody just strap one on the side, so everybody knows, you know, who has a gun and who doesn't.
Yeah, and there weren't that many killings in the Wild Wild West.
But don't you think would have to come up with some kind of regulation to regulate that? I mean, you just can't let everybody.
Yeah, you got the law against murder. You got the law against killing. So if you kill somebody, you go to jail.
Okay, just that easy, huh?
Well, it's a lot better than not having the guns around.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this: in this case, if that's the case, then what's the age limit?
What would be
the age limit? Age limit.
Oh, to have to carry around a gun?
Yeah. Even own a gun.
Oh, no. I mean, everybody should teach their kids when they're young how to fire a gun. They got a YouTube video up there where a 12-year-old girl knows how to take apart an M16, put it back together.
Okay. That's easy to do.
Well, yeah, but you asked me what age the 12-year-old girl's doing it. So I would think everybody should know how to handle a gun, how to clean a gun, how to shoot a gun. But it doesn't mean that everybody knows how is going to.
But at 12 years old, are they, you know, do you think they'll make the right decision? Are they able to, you know, make the right decision?
I'm not saying they should carry around a gun. I'm saying they should know about guns, so it takes them to speak away. I would say about maybe 18 you should be allowed to have a gun so that you can, you know, protect yourself against other people. If you can vote and go into the Army at 18, why can't you carry a gun?
You know what, that is an argument that's been around for a long time, Joe. That really has. And, you know, some say that's different because in the Army, you have some control, you know, around you.
What control? I mean, if you're in the Army, right? Let's say a gang member leaves civilian life. Let's say they leave Los Angeles. They go into the Army. They got a gun. I mean, if they're still a gang member and they have a gun available, what's to prevent them from using the gun?
Well, I guess you say it could be law.
The law's gonna.
I mean, you know,
members.
Military. I mean, because the military, you know, if you do have a personally owned weapon, you know, you're supposed to turn it into the armor. You know, that's one of the actual requirements. Now, how many do? I guess not many, you know, but that is what's supposed to happen. So, you know, there's avenues or precautions in place, you know.
How many gang members? Because there's a lot of gang members in the service now. How many gang members have been, a few have been caught trying to commit violence, but how many gang members proportionally, when they're in the service, actually get a gun? Because they know how to get guns illegally and start shooting up people.
Well, none that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some instances, you know, as far as drugs, but as far as them shooting up someone, no, I don't know anybody like that.
Yeah, because they know if they tried, they get killed on the base.
So
the military police would just hunt them down and shoot them.
Okay, so I guess that you're saying that to support your point that, you know, more guns would keep accidents and things like today from happening.
Well,
okay.
It would also, let's say some people would still say, well, let me go in there anyway, they got guns. But if they go in there and start shooting, and if other people have guns, they can shoot that maniac before he really, you know, kills too many people, too.
Low in the chat room says, hold people more accountable for their own actions. See, he's saying like I'm saying, well, if they're killing themselves, and after doing the deed, then, you know, you can't hold them accountable. And that's kind of the problem that I do have with that.
Why?
You know,
you want them dead, so they die.
Huh?
You want them dead, so they died.
That's the easy way out.
So you'd rather have the taxpayers pay for this guy's room and board for, let's say, 10, 15 years?
No. Like I said earlier, Joe,
If
we know he did it, he caught red-handed do it, no, we don't do all that. If we going, you know, just like your theory of everybody should have guns, then in that case, if we know he did it, we don't need to have no trial. We already know he's guilty.
So then you want him on death row for about 10, 15 years?
No. What I told you, you get whoever relatives,
them, but in the
whoever
system,
relatives, no, whoever relatives are the relatives people can shot.
Oh, okay.
That's right. You get it to them and let them stone him or whatever. You know? I know some of y'all out there talking about, well, you know the Bible, you can't say an eye for an eye. Well, that's what I'm saying right now, because there was no need to go into elementary school and kill no damn 20 kids. I'm sorry, not the little people. You know, the little people, man. Little people ain't bothering nobody. Nobody. You know, you're going to shoot 20 little people. That's what I call them, the little people. But, you know, it pisses me off, Joe. I'm not lying to you. I know here we got, campus police. So, you know, and they're all over the place. So
I wouldn't trust the cops either. Like when Barack Obama gave his speech today and he almost had a tear. That was bullshit. He was acting. He could have cared less about the kids.
How you figure? He got two daughters of his own that's in school.
Oh, God, you trust the government too much.
No, I'm saying he has kids. And any parent that has kids understand the tragedy that actually happened today. So it's not about the government or anybody. It's the fact that little people were killed unnecessarily. You know? You know? By a maniac. Okay, they keep talking about he may have had possible personality disorder, whatever. You know, they trying to make some things happen for him. But I think it's bull crap, Joe. I really do. Hold on, okay. I got another call on the air.
All
right. Go through. Mm-hmm. Good evening. You're on Fun Friday. What's on your mind?
What's up, Eric? How you doing, man? What's up, Joe? What's happening, bro?
How y'all doing?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Eno?
I'm good, man. I got to chime in on this one because it hits close to home, you know. First and foremost, I will say I started dealing with weapons at an early age. My daddy, you know, he put that responsibility in me at a very early age, you know. And also the discipline was there to know what that thing can do. I think that, and like I said, people should be held accountable. Eric, you mentioned something about, well, what if they killed themselves? Now, my thing is this, though. Excuse me. Now, let's just say that instead of taking a child to the doctor and saying, well, you know, we keep him in the house all the time and he just won't sit down. How about you put some on his ass and make him sit down? You show him the consequences to his actions. You know, there are no consequences. People don't think about the consequences of anything they do nowadays. And so in a society like that, everything is free and equal to do whatever you feel. You know, I know right now, if I were to go and do something just so far out the box, I mean, how would that affect the rest of my family? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to take into consideration that I go out there and I kill up a bunch of people right now. What are the people that live near and around my parents going to think about them and me after I've done this? See, they don't hold each other to a higher standard. I mean, the first thing people want to do is take a child to the doctor and put them on some medication because of this or that or whatever the case. Stop using these excuses and get down to the core problem. That's a child. And the child is supposed to be reared in the way that you would have them go. I mean, I'm not going into any Bible stuff. I'm just saying, if you are there as a guide, as a parent, then you have to be a guide. You have to be a parent. You can't be a child's friend and their parent. It can't work. You know, so I just say, I mean, you got to go back all the way to the basics, back to the core problem. I mean, it's starting with a child jumping on the phone calling 911 because they mouthed off to their parent and their parent knock hell out of them. You know, and then the parent going to jail.
Well, that's the government. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So what do you think about Joe's proposal that just everybody carry guns?
Well, years ago, I mean, well, you know, centuries ago, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was less crime. I mean, everybody, if everyone thought that, he may have a gun, then they'll think twice before they do something. You know, I've said it before, guns don't kill people. You can lay a gun there, it's just going to lay there. No, but until someone picks it up. Matter of fact, Joe had a very good point on another show. Well, let's say we take all the guns out of the equation right now and just give the quote-unquote responsible people guns. Well, let's say that you don't feel that I'm responsible enough to carry a gun. Well, I'll pick up a hammer, a sledgehammer, a bat, or a tire iron or something, you know. It's all going to be the same.
Well, people got, before guns became revolvers, right, they had, I forget what they called them. Remember how the pirates would have these guns that only fire one...
Muskets,
no, that, yeah.
That was for, like, rifles. But what about the small handguns? What do they call them?
What do they call them? I know what you're talking about. I can see the gun, but I don't know what they call them.
Yeah, they only shot one bullet at a time. Well, they shot one bullet at a time, and then they took out a dagger and killed you. So, people were killing all the time. And how about when Buccaneers had their the swords? How about the Three Musketeers? People had their swords. They were killing people all the time with weapons,
mm-hmm.
right? But you can't take the weapons out of the hands of the populace, because if you do, what'll happen? You'll have the highwaymen, you'll be mugged, you'll get killed, you'll have burglaries.
Even,
and like I offered, the example I offered before, if you're a demented maniac and you have a choice between going into a neighborhood where you know everybody's got a gun, or trying to rob a neighborhood where you know nobody's got a gun, I'll bet you 95% of the time he's picking out the neighborhood that has no guns.
I would agree, and I'll chime in on that. I heard you use this before.
Mm-hmm.
Even more to it than that, that's the only defense between the citizens and the government.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the only line of defense the citizens have. You know, there are more advanced weapons out there that we don't know about that the government possesses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only line of defense that we have is the right to bear an arm. Now,
mm-hmm.
if they take that, then you pretty much, I'll use a layman's term, they're the pimp, you're the whore. You're the scary whore at that. Because whatever they say, there will be no resistance.
Yeah, and people trust the government too much. If we take away the arms from everybody in the United States, people think, well, we're all going to be safe because the government will protect us with the cops, the state troopers, with the FBI. No. Once these bastards see that everybody's disarmed, they're going to try to turn us into Soviet Russia. Pronto.
Wow. Okay. Wow, and that was deep right there.
It wouldn't be hard, though.
It wouldn't be hard?
No, it wouldn't be hard at all.
Hmm.
Let's just think about it now, Eric. I mean, you and I were in the same place a little over, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think about the obsolete weapons and... just for instance, the tanks. Those tanks were old as hell. Those tanks were 30, 40, 50 years old. Now,
yeah, you're right.
If you have a rock or a bayonet or some scissors or whatever, what can you do with a man that has an AK-47? Absolutely nothing but die.
That
you would
is
have
true.
To be David, and that would be Goliath. That would be the only situation. Now, other than that, if citizens don't hold the government accountable. That's one of the biggest problems now, because I'm not afraid to say it. I don't care how anybody feels. You have the white people that's going to vote for the Republicans because, oh, well, they're for us. And the black people that's going to do the same for the Democrats. Or we're going to vote for him because he's black. I've heard many people say that about the president. And you know, you can't keep putting those same people in those offices if they're not going to work for you. I mean, they may go up there with good intentions, and before they know it, they had so much money thrown at them in an hour's time till they forgot everything that they can't, the principles and morals that they came up there with.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just a part of this system.
They're part of the system, huh?
That's all it is. They're just a part of the system, you know.
Mm.
And so I say still, the people, and Joe said it earlier, the people do trust the government too much. There's no way a man will turn away a briefcase full of money or a big brown paper bag full of money or whatever. Just so, well, I'm going to look out for Eric Jackson down there in District 13 and, you know, Miss Sally Mae and all the church members. I'm going, no. It's not in their nature. It's not in their DNA to look out for the people. So the people have to look out for themselves. So in that, we must hold ourselves more responsibly. We must hold the government more accountable for a lot of things that happen, because it's not the government's place to come into my home and to tell me, well, I understand that that little person, as you call it, mouthed off at you. I understand that, but you don't have the right, because you was the one out there working and it was hot or cold or whatever, and you keeping a roof over this bastard's head and food on the table, but this ungrateful bastard ran off at the mouth or whatever. You don't have the right to take action against him.
Well, as a matter of fact, getting back to the government, take a look at how many families are having their children taken away simply because either they're fat or they're talking back to the parents and the neighbors complain or something like that. This idea of giving the government free rein and giving them the power to take your children away, to me, I don't understand how people can tolerate that.
I agree. And you know, I was reading something that Mitch McConnell said the other day. What happens is you get a lot of faces up there that you get used to seeing, and you begin trusting, and you feel that you're a part of their team, and the team won't work without that person. Now, if you've been up there all this time, and I can say for myself, as a young father, I was a hellraiser. I would whoop ass for anything. And the older I got, the more I kind of veered away from it. So now, if you take into consideration, you have all of these, for the most part, senior citizens up there dictating all of these laws and everything. And I really don't think that a person in his 60s or 70s can truly identify with the same time frame as someone in their 20s or 30s. You know, some things might have to change, but some things do need to stay the same.
All right, then. So, okay, if that's the case, then. So,
I'm getting feedback from both of you.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Where you at, Joe?
I'm over here.
Oh, okay.
Where is over here is the question.
Yeah, look, I didn't bother to ask the rest of that. I don't want to know that.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. As long as I don't hear no funny noises, we cool.
Absolutely. But right. Yeah, I mean, I'm 37. I have a 19-year-old daughter, and I have a, matter of fact, yesterday made 3 months, 3-month-year-old grandson. And, you know, I'm looking at how I want both of their lives to go. And, you know, with all of these rules and regulations that these people have put in place and some that they've taken away, it's going to be hard to do that, because I still have a lot of the quote-unquote older ways that still float around in my head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know some things you have to adapt with the times and changes and all of that, but if we just keep walking away from the basics, like, say, I hear a lot of people all the time saying, well, I'm not going to whip my children because it was done to me and I don't think it was right. Well, you're probably the parent who goes to school and cusses out the teacher because the Johnny came home and told you that the teacher said something and you don't know what he did. You ask him, he said he didn't do anything. You know, that's always going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard trying to put everything into perspective when you have so many people that outright don't even seem like they give a damn about what the government's doing. I mean, okay, if you look at your Facebook page today, you'll see hundreds of people, oh, we're sorry about the Connecticut incident. pray for them, all of that.
Right, right.
But tomorrow they'll forget all about it. What made this happen? That would be the question. What made this happen? Not the effect. What was the cause?
Exactly. I agree with that. So, you know, but still, once again, you know, with them taking their own lives, and, I mean, his brother hasn't talked to him since, what, 2010, supposedly. So can't get any insight there. His mama, he killed his mother. So, I mean, you know, how can we figure out? I mean, you know what I mean? How can we really get to the root of what's causing these people to go ahead and kill all these innocent folk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my point. You know, I understand I'm not advocating taking guns away or anything like that, but something needs to be done, you know, because this is happening too frequently now. It's not like before where you get one be a year or 2 years or 3 years apart. I mean, we had, what, three noticeable killings, you know, this year alone that we know about as far, you know, as big headlines. So, I mean, what can we do to fix this thing? You know, Joe say, arm everybody. He said, that'll work. Just arm everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then, you know, in other words, you know, if you see me with a gun and I'm thinking about doing something, I may reconsider if I see you got one, too. You have one also. You know.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But then you have to think about, you know, then you're getting into a dangerous point also, because now you're talking about 18-year-olds. Hey, they can't even walk the street without guns right now without killing each other. You know what I mean? So if we go ahead and go that route, you know, I don't know if that would be a viable solution.
Well, look, everybody's assuming that because you give an 18-year-old the gun or everybody a gun over the age of 18, that all of a sudden they're going to start trying to be Marshall Dillon. I'll bet you after a while with people trying to be the fastest gun in town, once they see themselves get their hands on their arms shot off or their friends killed, there's not going to be that many. Because remember, in the Wild Wild West, not a lot of people got killed out there in the street. That's Hollywood.
But, Joe, whether that's true, and I understand it's Hollywood, but, Joe, let's take, you know, let's use something real. Chicago, the south side, the north side of Chicago, you know, them cats, I mean, the homicide rate is so high there. I mean, everybody's carrying gun there, and you see what's going on. You know, so, would that make, in other words, am I saying, is that a different scenario than what you're speaking of?
You've got criminals killing criminals over drugs. The stats have shown places where people carry guns have a lower crime rate. So if that's the case, then the case is solved. Case closed.
Well, From what I know and from what I see every day, excuse me, this country, above all others, has a history of promoting violence. Your video games, your movies, your commercials, you name it. There has to be some sort of wild side out there, you know, in some sense, just to catch a person's attention nowadays, you know. And if it's not there, then it pretty much won't get that much press. So, you know, I think we went too far out there as far as, you know, pushing the limits as far as tolerance goes, you know. When it used to be PG-13, and the next thing you know, you started hearing Bart Simpson use one or two cuss words on cable. And after that, you know, now they saying words. I heard them say dick, shit, balls, call the guy pussy. and this is on regular cable where it's, you know, 6:30, 7, 8 o'clock, and let's say you got kids 6-7 years old sitting there watching TV with you, and, you know, they things are being allowed to go too far is what I think. Now, you got somebody in prison because they murdered somebody outright. They weren't defending themselves. They murdered somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to let them lay in that prison cell and do 30 life, 40 years, whatever the case may be, 10, 15 years, whatever. I think that there should be a consequence to that to those actions. There's a lot of wasted money that the United States spends on prisoners every year. Now, in the case when you have a situation where this guy was wrongfully accused or whatever, it happened. But on the other side of that, like I said, if this person did outright murder that person or whatever, no, you're not about to lay up in this cell for 25, 30 years on us. No, it's not going to happen. See, people don't fear anything anymore. And, you know, to be honest with you, I was reading somewhere where it was saying, you know, what has happened is they've taken God out of everything, Ahaya, out of everything. And now people are taught to pretty much, and if you listen to a lot of those stars, they're taught to just believe in themselves. You know, they make all things possible through themselves and through their own actions. So that's pretty much taking God out of everything. You know, and when you do that, then you pretty much have a society of lawlessness, which is exactly what we have.
Okay, you mentioned something earlier I want to get back to, and that was television, the cable. So how about video games such as Call of Duty? You know, that's a big one. You know, everybody got to get Call of Duty. And, you know, I think now it's in 3D or something like that. Yeah, and the zombies, you know, some things like that. You think that plays a role in what some of these guys get their mind to?
I'll say it like this. For somebody that was in that situation, I don't think that there's something that should be played on a fucking video game. And that's my stance on it. And I'm pretty sure there's millions of other veterans out there, hundreds of thousands, that feel the exact same way that I do. If you want to play military, you want to play Army, join. Other than that, leave that alone. I don't think that, you know, that little video game or whatever should be, I don't think it should be as popular as it is, you know. And it's phony because once you die, you dead. Ain't no coming back to life and resetting, you know. So
mm-hmm.
there's a big misconception that, I don't know, people pretty much would rather think that the world is safe just because they're sitting in front of a computer all day long or a video game all day long, as opposed to going out there in society, you know. And if you sit in front of this game long enough, or you listen to this certain type of music long enough, or whatever, it becomes a part of you. And you might just go out and try some of these things that you saw.
So in other words, the video games kind of get boring, so you try to think of a way to go ahead and make it more realistic by going out there and doing it yourself.
I'd say so.
And I got a question that just was sent to me. It says, times have changed. More drugs are being used by teens and young adults. The question should be, how do we do a better job of screening people with mental issues and preventing them from getting guns?
Well, first and foremost, I commented on this earlier today. Times haven't changed as much as people think they have as far as the more people on drugs situation. More people are on controlled substances, i.e. Popping pills and things like that, of that nature, than anything else. And they only see that as a recreational drug. But as far as the screening process, there is nothing wrong with the screening process that we have. The only thing is, it's always going to be a way around everything. Okay, so, Joe, you know my background's not as clean as yours. So, hey, I need you to buy a gun for me. I'm going to pay for it. You buy a gun for me, you quote-unquote lose it or somebody stole it, and, hey, I got a gun. So you can – there's always a way around everything. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, but even if Joe says he lost it or whatever, it still makes it illegal for you to have.
It does, but –
but that's not the point.
That's not
you know,
the point, because 95% of the time – if somebody on the streets kills somebody, it's with a hot weapon anyway. So, you know, you're not likely to go and take your own weapon that you have registered and everything else legally and go out and just kill somebody. You're not likely to do that. Now, if it's a gun that's already got a couple of bodies on it, then, hey, no harm, no foul.
All righty then. All right, so basically we have some work we got to do on this gun control thing. And Joe, no, I'm not talking about taking guns away from people.
Yeah, okay? You are. Who are you?
No, I am not, Joe.
There you are.
I'm not talking about taking them away. I'm trying, you know, something
well,
has to be done.
You don't want them to have them. It's the same thing.
Well, you know what? It's not that I want people to have guns, because I agree with you. Everybody must protect themselves. But my thing is, how can we keep dodos and idiots and knuckleheads like this one from going in there killing, you know, kids, little people? You know what I'm saying?
Look, happy people don't kill people, okay? We're in economic times where you have 47 million people on food stamps. You have something like, the true numbers are probably one out of every four people in the United States are out of work. When you're out of work, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You have a lot of nothing to do. Plus,
no. This is a 20-year-old young man.
Yeah.
He living at home with mama. What the hell he got to worry about?
His mother died. Somebody killed his mother.
He killed her.
Yeah. So therefore, he wasn't really getting reared properly. Look, it all boils down to parents' responsibilities. Most parents are not good parents, okay? You can train a dog, a cat, an elephant, an alligator. You can train bears better than people can train their kids. People don't know how to be good parents. That's just the bottom line. And especially when you have, I think society today, more kids are being born out of wedlock than in wedlock. So you have only the influence of a single female. She's working. And she doesn't know how to take care of kids. So then we have immigrants here. So this isn't the old America anymore, okay? This is the new America. This new America, people don't even think of themselves as Americans. They think of themselves as, you know, coming from Mexico or having come from Canada or having come from some other country and settled in the United States. And, you know, they don't even appreciate the fact that they're even in the United States. The people in California, they want to... They want to take back New Mexico, Arizona, and California. We don't have Americans. We don't have homogeneity anymore. People don't think of themselves as Americans. They just think of themselves as people living in this country.
Okay.
People are not good parents. They never really were. But at least when they were lousy parents growing up, back in the 50s or so, they had a nuclear family. You had a father and a mother. The mother didn't have to work. The economy was very good back then. You didn't have a lot of people committing crimes. You didn't have the government imposing its rules and regulations and its anti-constitutional philosophies upon people. So this is why we have what we have today. And I always put it on the parents anyway, because that's their kid. That's their responsibility. If you didn't want a goddamn kid, you shouldn't have had it.
Go ahead, Lo. I see you got something to add to it.
That's a very good point. And, you know, nowadays the way I see it, and I can say this because, you know, I'm a part of the statistics myself, because I was a teenager with a child myself. I mean, you got to consider, if you're a child, there is no fucking way you need a child. even if you, I would say that as far as becoming a parent, I would say you should wait on that at least until you're maybe at the earliest, maybe 27, almost 28 years old.
I would say even older.
Yeah, you could go even older. I will agree because I can say, like, dealing with my, I have a couple of nephews, they rambunctious little boys, 2 and 4. And I can see the patience that I have and the guidance that I show with them as opposed to with my own daughter when she was that age, you know. I mean, hell, how are you going to raise somebody and you still learning about life yourself? You're always going to learn about life. But, you know, you're 19 and you haven't been out there and been able to stay out all night, party all night, and all this and all. I mean, you know, these are things that are just a part of a cycle of life that people go through. I mean, it's a Friday evening right now. And I was thinking earlier, man, I remember when it was a Friday evening. There's no fucking way in the world I was going to be at home.
You know it.
That was the last place I was going to be. But as it turns out, hell, I'm 37, and there's no other place I want to be than at my home right now. You know, and I think that there are lousy parents now. I wouldn't even call them parents because a lot of them are leaving their children on their parents. And, you know, grandma and papa, they don't want to whoop anybody's behind in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mom and the daddy want to do is run amok and go and do what they want to do anyway. So, you know, if it was possible, I think that something in the educational system has to happen as far as, sex education. And I don't mean just going in there and saying, you know, girls have a vagina, boys have a penis. I mean, you actually have to take these people or have somebody to come in as a, I got feedback. Have to come in and let's say you have an 18-year-old girl that's dropped out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Come in and talk to her class, the people that she would have been in class with, but she had to drop out of school to take care of her child. You know, or you have somebody that's 20 years old or 19 years old in college. And have them come into the classroom and say, well, hey, you know, what are you guys going to do this evening? Oh, you know, we're all going to hang out by the whatever, this and that, whatever, whatever. Well, I would love to, but I have to go home and take care of my child. You know, so I think that there should be more education as far as, you know, raising children. And you don't need to just go in there and give you don't have to give the worst part of it, but just let it be known that there are going to be more downs than ups, especially if you're having to do it all by yourself. Because once this guy gets this girl pregnant and you know he doesn't want her anymore, or need her anymore, he's going on about his business.
Wow. Okay. And you know what? I have to agree with that, though. There does definitely need to be more education, you know, starting at, you know, the first grade, kindergarten, something, you know, because, you know what? I know it used to, you know, sometimes, man, you just have to sit back and you think about these things, you know. I mean, because you're right, because I'm with you, you know, back in the day, this time of night. You know, it's time to go to the club. You know, you stop by your little drinking buddy's house, and you know, y'all, you know, will shoot the breeze until a certain time. Then you roll out. You know, but like you say, as you get older, you know, you realize it's especially once you get kids. You know, you realize that it's more to life than just going out there spending your money in the club. But hey, you know, I don't know, but. You know, we do need to do something about this stuff, but I'm sure some kind of way it'll work itself out. I guess that's what we, you know, we have to figure that out. Now, check this out. Since I got both of you wise men on the half the council on the phone, let's go and talk about Javon Belcher for a hot minute. Now, come to find out, him and his girlfriend had argued over the paternity of their 11-year-old baby before shot her. So,
was it 11 weeks old? Maybe
11 weeks old, 3 weeks, or however they say it. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he was questioning the paternity. But here's my thing. Even though you was questioning the paternity of your child, did you have to shoot her and kill her? I mean, he shot this woman nine times.
Logic. Look, okay. If he's questioning the paternity, right, that means he suspects something, but he's not getting answers. Why isn't he getting answers? The girl has to be resisting. So if she is resisting, plus she's going out... She's pissing this guy off. And like I said before, this isn't going to be the first time that she just pissed him off and he just took a gun. They had to have had arguments for a while. And if she's probably saying to him, well, it's yours, or maybe it's not yours, but I'm not going to allow the child to have a DNA test. So why do you think that's going to prey on somebody's mind? All she had to do, I mean, look, if she was a responsible woman, that wasn't his wife, right?
No.
No, it's his girlfriend.
And she shouldn't have had a kid to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? But she did. Why? She wanted the money. Now, if people say, she probably loved him, felt like, get the fuck out of here. A groupie is a fucking groupie is a groupie. If this guy wasn't making millions of bucks in the NFL, he probably wouldn't be able to fuck the bitch to begin with.
Oh, Lord.
Good point.
I got somebody else want to join in. Oh, my goodness.
So if he's questioning the paternity, she's not denying him the right to have the paternity.
Oh, okay. Good evening. You're on Fun Friday. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
What's up, Titans? Council? I had to join in when I heard that one because that was the piece of information I was listening. Listening to hear. Post that in your chat room, or what is the heading of that link where this involved a paternity case, paternity dispute between Belcher and his live-in girlfriend?
Oh, Lord. Okay, I'll send it to
just
you right.
Just recite the name of it if you know.
Okay. Police dispute over paternity led to shooting.
That's it. Yes.
That's it.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's all it was.
That'll fucking definitely do it. Because, see, there's no more power to exercise over a man than to give a bitch that power vis-a-vis a child, vis-a-vis the law. That will do it. Now, all men don't do it. I don't agree with it. But if I were on a jury, I would be sympathetic.
You'd be sympathetic?
That's right. I would be sympathetic, like probation.
Wow. Well, check this out. And you're talking to someone that was going in and out, up and down, left, right, side, side, front, back, throughout that fucked-up-ass child support system. That system sucks. It fucking sucks. A man... And it's always been said on this show, and I appreciate it because it's true. Now, if a man doesn't want to have a child, it doesn't matter because the woman's pregnant and, you know, she can do whatever she wants to with her own body, you know. She'll make the ultimate decision to have or not to have this child, even though this guy says, hey, well, you know, I don't want to be a part of it. You know, we had a one-night stand, or, hey, you know, we were just having casual sex, and we were both irresponsible. The problem is, you know, I myself personally, I can say this. I was in a situation where, hey, I was doing everything I could, but the problem came in when there was time for me to live my life and, you know, be happy. A woman does not want to see her, I'll go ahead and say it, her baby's daddy. She don't want to see him happy. if she's only going to get some child support money and he's still going to live a pretty good life. She don't want to see that. She wants that bastard to suffer.
Can I just say this? It's not about the woman. See, that's where our misplaced anger is. The woman is only the conduit. And Joe made a point just now, which I don't disagree with. There are a lot of conspiracies, and that's it right there. That is the most palpable conspiracy that impacts men and potentially impacts men and boys. That bullshit, what you would call it, socialistic, Hitlerian, oppression. The woman is only being used. She was specifically targeted because they know she's an idiot. That's why they don't really hold her accountable. Sure, they'll throw her ass in jail, but they realize, you know, that women aren't accountable. But I can see this one guy, and I keep up with these. This one guy choked a woman to death with his bare hands when she told him that she was going to give birth over his objection. And see, the thing of it is, now, all guys won't do that. However, there are a significant amount of guys who will, because the ultimate insult and the ultimate, sequestration of liberty is that bullshit child support or the government using the law and using the woman to enforce draconian government law. That's who's behind this. It's the government. Fuck the woman. It's the government that's promoting this. And men allow this shit to continue. I'm not against women. See, women wouldn't have bastard children if there was pushback. But the government makes sure there's little to no pushback. In fact, they subsidize bastard children. And I think you guys have been saying a lot of the same thing. I was listening to Joe. And I was listening to N.O. Now, they were saying the same thing. N.O. brought up religion. And that is an important factor. I heard Stan, he was on another show, they were battling atheism versus creationism or Darwinism or something of that nature. But if people are told that they're just animals and they're constantly indoctrinated with that shit, they're going to act like it. This is all there is. This is shit while you're living it. Some of the stats were brought up about the economy. So people aren't in control of their lives. So what do? They may as well end it. They may as well go out with flair, as it were. So, you know, there are a number of things that have converged to create this wackiness, this madhouse. But if you don't have standards that you teach people, starting from early childhood, respect for life, respect for other people's property, respect for other people's person, and you give maniacs that we have been created into today, thank God a few of us aren't, but we never know, given if we're put under enough pressure. So you teach people they are from nothing, they came from nothing, they're going to nothing, and then you put a weapon in their hands, and their lives are miserable, you figure it out. I mean, I don't think the conclusion is hard to draw that people will do what they're doing. And I don't know that people who kill themselves, I've said this myself, and I have to constantly evaluate this, I don't know that those people are actually cowards. They may be braver than any of us, because to kill yourself, certainly in a certain context, takes a hell of a lot of intestinal fortitude. So I'm just throwing that out. I'm not drawing a conclusion on that one way or the other, but I think we need to be careful calling people what I call cowards for killing themselves, because, I wouldn't do it. At least in my present state of mind, and I think most people wouldn't, but obviously a significant number of people do, so there you have it. But, yeah, I can see a man killing a woman when she tries to pull that child support card, or what is it? It's, child support, and feminists admit that child support is backdoor alimony is what it is. You're really supporting the woman. That's the way a bitch can get into a man's pocket, a gold-digging bitch. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree. Like I was saying, I did notice in my own situation how, I'm not bragging. I just tell the truth. Doing fairly well in my life, and I went and bought myself a nice little convertible, you know, of the year, and whoever I had the child with found out about it, and the next thing I know, I received a letter in the mail that, you know, we have to review your case, you know, and even after I am already overextending myself as far as, you know, you can just pay what the state says that you are required, or you can pay more trying to help. And I've always tried to help, but that wasn't good enough. And so, I had to go back and do the review thing, and I came back that I was, after they found out exactly how much I was paying extra, the judge said, well, hey, you know, if this man's already given you this much money and he doesn't have to, and if you want me to do it the right way, I can tally up what he's already given you towards future child support, and we could walk out of here right now and he could owe you nothing.
Now, how did you do that, if I may ask? Did you have receipts? Because they usually won't give men credit for
well,
that.
Actually, first thing you do is don't go in there with a lawyer. Go with an attorney. There's a difference.
The lawyer
will take your money and say, fuck you, and he'll help you as minimal as possible. Your attorney is going to go in there, and he's going to find every avenue possible that he can use, and that's exactly what I did. And you know, if I would have went in by myself, I'm pretty sure I'd got ass fucked. Everybody know that. But the thing was, those people, they keep account of how much money you pay into the child support yearly, I think. And all they have, matter of fact, it's all in their system. All they have to do is go back and look at your payments that you've made, and it's just like making a car payment every month.
Had a child support order, obviously.
Yeah.
But an attorney and a lawyer are the same thing. You understand that, right?
He's talking about the generic difference. He knows,
absolutely.
You know, lawyer and attorney are one and the same, but he's saying that a lawyer who doesn't give a shit about you is just a lawyer, you know.
He's talking about appropriate representation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Most men can't afford an attorney. Do you recall, and I'm sure you do, how much you were paying per hour for that attorney?
It was well worth it.
No, I understand. Oh,
it
absolutely.
It was well worth it. Somewhere $150, $175 an hour.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Male or female?
A male.
You should recommend that attorney's name to other people. Eric, I don't know if Eric wants to take the name of your attorney, but when you find a good attorney, men should have a data bank of good attorneys that will really represent you, or good attorneys,
right.
Good attorneys, period. So, Eric, why don't you get the name of his attorney off the air or whatever and just have him as a reference? What state do you live in, if you don't mind my asking?
Live in Louisiana. I live in New Orleans.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
We'll get together, Lo.
Absolutely. I've seen so many men, and this ties back into what we were talking about. I have seen so many men some guys don't even know how they are actually going to live themselves because of this burden that they've had put on them with child support. I was talking to a guy at work, and he told me for one child, he was paying, and I live in Louisiana, I mean, it's not that expensive, but it's expensive enough. One child, $1,400 a month.
Yeah, well, see, remember, child support, like I say, is alimony, and it's also punishing men.
Right.
And it's sort of like a repeal in that they can throw you in jail. Now, that's being fought in court. because they don't allow a man, an attorney, a one who can't afford one. And then, of course, if your freedom is at stake, screw what the state says. It's not a criminal matter. It's a civil matter. That's bullshit. When your property and freedom are at stake, that's a distinction without a difference, or symbolism over substance, because you are, in essence, being criminally dealt with. And so, yeah, that's why it's good to have an attorney. But there was something else. But going to what Eric was saying, that will cause a man to kill a woman, because it's like repealing the 13th Amendment. That is slavery. They can enslave you, take your freedom for something that the woman is culpable. See, that's the problem. You're giving the woman all this power. And, you know, one of the reasons I point out that men and women can't get along is because of this power imbalance right there. And the law will support her. The full force of the law will support this woman to destroy you. It has nothing to do with the child. The child and the woman are just used as shields, as it were. The real point is what Joe's saying is the tyranny of the government. And it really impacts men more so than it does women, because that's the way it's directed.
Yeah.
But, I can see him killing her for that. I absolutely can see him killing her for that. Not that I agree with it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. And I would just say to this gentleman, is join a men's group and share some of your knowledge and your success, and even your attorney's name, with that men's group.
Do you remember the name of your attorney?
Yeah,
excuse me?
I do.
Okay, why don't you tell us now, so that people who can will download the archive, even if they don't live in Louisiana, that they can call him up and find out if he can refer a fellow colleague in their state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea too. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's no problem. My attorney was James Lawrence, James J.C. Lawrence.
Okay, I'll write that down. You have his number?
I don't have it.
Okay, next time you call in.
I'll probably have it by then.
Because I've shared some information with Eric like that. Now, some attorneys do want you to contact them first before you start trying to do a lot of things, because then they have to try to unravel stuff, and I understand that. But that's a good outcome. I'm glad it happened that way. Now, did you want a child at first, or did you end up wanting the child after you were caught up in it?
Man, I was in high school.
Okay, so the question still stands. Did you want the child?
Hell no, I didn't want no goddamn baby. Shit. Man, what I need a baby? I had my whole life was in front of me. I mean, three or four different places I could have went to college. Two athletic scholarships, one in a possible academic, and I flushed all of that down the toilet by deciding to go ahead and get a job and start working.
So what kind of, if you don't mind my asking, what kind of relationship do you, the child is grown now or near adulthood?
Yeah. She's 19.
Okay. Oh, yes. So what kind of relationship do you all, and I tell you the reason I ask you this, is because Tom Likas, who I consider a hero for men's rights, he did a show on women who are bitches and have kids that men don't want, and the bad relationships that oftentimes result, not only between the kids and the forced father, but also the mother. The kids also tend to hate the mother. But what kind of relationship do you and the child that you were forced to be a parent of have?
Well, I'll be honest with you. As when she was a small child, you know, I did everything that I was supposed to as far as being a responsible father. And one problem that we had was because I was more on the side of making my child do something. I mean, hey, you're not going to get a free pass as far as, you know, school and things like that. You're not gonna slide by with a B minus or high C when I know you can do better. And so, in that aspect, for quite a while, we were not quote unquote the best of friends. But like I told my daughter, anyway, I'm never gonna be your friend. I'm your daddy. So now, because the child support is over and things aren't like they used to be as far as, you know, her mom being a friend and all of that stuff, now she see a lot of the things that I was saying. And so she has come around to being a person now that I feel, I could be wrong, but I feel that she truly now has more compassion for me as opposed to just seeing me as someone that's an overseer or, you know, he's my biological father and I have to care for him just because of that into a genuine love, father-daughter love, you know. I do feel that, especially now since she has her own son and, you know, me and my wife are there for all types of support. So, you know, I can see where our relationship has grown into a much more meaningful relationship, if it, as it were. Yeah.
Did she get married before she had a child, or is she a single mother, if you don't
single
mind
mother.
Answering?
Single mother. Single mother. This was something that I was fighting. I did everything I could to ensure that this wouldn't happen, but it did, and you know what? There's nothing we can do about it now, so we just love our grandson to death.
All right. That's all right.
Yeah.
But you did, you learned something from it. That's a good part about it. You
know, yeah.
You're not a bad parent. That's you know, I say a lot of times, if you have that good parent that's involved in your life, whether you're together or not, you know, that does make a difference, believe it or not. You know,
just a question of believe it or not. It absolutely is. If you have parents who know how to provide balance with their child, that child is going to look. If we can train animals, we can guide our children.
I agree, Joe, and I have to say this. You know, not to go too far into my own personals, but when they get to be teenagers at a certain age, you know, they kind of get a little rebellious.
They get rambunctious. They get rebellious.
We all went through that. But it was even a situation thrown out there. You know, me and my wife talked, and we were like, hey, you know what? Let's try something different. How about she, because we live, I live 4.5 hours away from my daughter. And I was like, you know, I called. I'm like, you know, how about we try something different? How about she move here with us? You know, to try something different, get a different attitude, different atmosphere, maybe a change all the way around. And I was good with it. My wife was good with it. And the problem came in when her mom started looking at the money that she was going to lose from the child support.
Right, right.
So that's you know. It was always, I mean, you have to be willing to go that extra mile, you know, as a parent. And that doesn't mean just working hard as hell to be able to buy your children things and stuff. Because ultimately, if you buy a kid a bunch of toys and they play with them for a little while, they get bored with those toys and they always wonder, you know, hey, well, why you never had time for me? You know, so ultimately... I can say that, you know, as far as doing everything I could do, I went out there on that limb, and I wasn't always greeted with a smile, but I will say, and my child support caseworker told me one time, and she never said it again, if more men took care of their responsibility the way you did, I would not have a job. And, you know, like I said, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just quoting, and I'm just saying how things were. So, and hell, how can you brag on yourself in the first place for taking care of your own responsibilities?
now.
They talk about you or men being responsible, but guess who they left out?
Oh, they did leave out the woman, of course.
Talk about her being responsible. Notice that argument. When that's being discussed, the woman is completely left out in terms of her being responsible. So this is like the guy yesterday, and now I'm not talking about the guy per se, but that's a bitch-made attitude, is that because a woman can have a baby, that's what she was designed to do. That's her responsibility. Now, she doesn't have to have a baby, but if she has a baby and she can only have a baby as a result of her egg being fertilized, but to try and elevate a woman, that's like pagan and stupid. And I pointed out also, which I didn't get.
Well, that's not her responsibility. That's her activity. That's her, I wouldn't even call it talent. That's just a behavior.
Yeah, well, that's what a woman's body was designed to do, is to bear the offspring. And
yes,
women have to bear women, too. I mean, that's just, but
yeah,
originally, women came from man. And it's, in fact, that's what the word woman means, the wombed man, or man with a womb, basically.
Interesting.
But that's interesting, too, about Belcher, is that when you put a man who is sort of on edge, women, and they probably, they won't listen. They'll just be plucked off like ducks, because I think this is Darwinism in realism, is that when they push these men over the edge. Now, this guy, as big as he was, he got a gun and shot her how many times?
Nine times.
He shot her nine times or fired the gun nine times?
No, he shot her nine times. He put nine rounds in her.
Damn.
That was rage.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. That's almost like what happened to Nicole.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know what? OJ came home a couple times, at least one time, and found her on the couch, not even in the bedroom, on the couch having sex with her new boyfriend. And, he comes home. And he's saying, are the kids here? This is after they got divorced, but she was living at the house, and, she's just having carefree sex, like the kids don't matter. So, that irks on a man.
Yeah, but see, if you think about it, those guys, they have to stop just going out. I mean, okay, everybody, single guys more especially, everybody's going to have the opportunity to go out and get a piece of ass, but you don't take this fucking gold digger, if you're making millions of dollars, you don't take this gold digger waitress and turn her into your housewife, your trophy wife all of a sudden, because, once she get, quote-unquote, used to your way of living, then, hey, you know, everything's common now, so the things that she did before, she's going to revert back to them anyway, the Belcher situation. That guy, just as I said on another show, I don't know exactly how it came up, who started the argument or whatever. They was arguing about a paternity, whatever. But at any rate, that was the girl's mother living with them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was the girl's mother living. Okay, so you got him. He's making all this money. And you got this chick who wound up getting pregnant by him. I'm sure she was a groupie. She throwing him off, getting the pussy out of both panty legs just to trap him, and she did it. And once she trapped him,
Sorry. It was his mother.
Oh, that was his mother?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he was taking care of his mom and letting his whore live there anyway. So once she, got tired of him out fucking other women and she wanted to go out and party or whatever after just having a baby, he came home and, an argument ensued and, the next thing he shot her because she wouldn't stop running her fucking mouth. And I'm pretty sure, let's lay all the cards on the table. I know you don't like to hear it, Eric. Motherfucker, nigga, I'll take all of your goddamn money. Right or wrong? No, she said it. You know she said, I will take your motherfucking ass to child support court and get every fucking dime you got. You'll be playing football for me, motherfucker. You know
Long
she told her
that right. That's right.
You
and
know,
it wasn't
yeah,
always
I
that way. That's the reason men need to stop this bullshit.
Yeah,
but go ahead. Know. You're right. I would assume that was part of her argument.
No, I was not her saying that without
yeah,
a doubt.
Of course. Of course. I will put everything on she said that. And once he told her, hey, you know what, I don't want you living here no more. This is my house. Blase, blase. You live with me. I'm giving you a free ride. And she turned everything around to, you know, the baby this, the baby that. Motherfucker, I'll take you to child's. You'll be playing football for me just like all the rest of these fools doing for everybody else.
Live up to your responsibility. This is your responsibility. Your responsibility. Your responsibility.
And I'm just sure he just went fucking crazy.
He had to.
I know that said to me. When I let my girl know I was not interested in marriage, and she's telling me that I'm afraid of my responsibilities, and that's why I didn't want to get married. And I'm saying, what responsibilities if I'm not married and I don't want to get married? I don't understand. But, you know, this poor guy was married, and she probably said at that time, you know, other than just, I'll take you to the cleaners and I'll make you work for me. And by the way, this isn't even your kid now, if you hear that.
Yo, he wasn't married.
Okay, but then why is... So he's paying her child support, and then she's probably saying, and this isn't even your child anyway.
That's the point I was going to make. I bet that's what came out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Might have. See, your stance has changed a little bit, Eric, from the other show when you had ANAB in the chat room.
What I'm saying is I have more information now. Since I have more information now, I can put more, you know, I can see the other side of the coin now because I see more information.
Okay,
I didn't have the information, so I wasn't going ahead and just say, yeah, that was it because the information wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But with this information here, I can see what, you know, what could have been said to cause him to shoot her.
I understand, and as soon as I heard that he shot her 9 times at point-blank range, and then he went and killed himself in front of his coaches, immediately I knew exactly what happened. She pissed him off about child support, and there's nothing he could have done about it, and she got all in his face.
Well, yes, there was something he could do about it. He did it. And that's analogous to Tiger Woods. When I heard that in Florida, where everything shuts down at 9 p.m., that Tiger Woods was running out of his house and ran into a tree, I knew that was a fight because I thought it took me about all of 2.5 seconds to come to the conclusion that they were fighting. Right, you guys remember that, the Tiger
Woods? Yeah,
and
then they tried to hide the fact that she was coming after him with a club,
right. Because why would you leave home, hop in a car without your shoes on at that time of night in Florida? I knew they were fighting, and the same thing is true here. When I heard about, but I just waited, I just held my peace, because I say it'll come out. Now, what would have been the thinking of her, not that it makes any sense anyway, to tell him that it wasn't his child? I mean, she already had him paying child support. I mean, he was taking care of her, obviously. So,
is that a rhetorical question, Rich?
I'm just kind of asking Eric, why would she have said that? Because that was like sawing off the limb she was sitting on. So, and she wasn't married to him. They weren't married.
Right. Well, see, here's the thing. I think what happened, he probably because she got home before him, right? She got home around 2, and he got in around 6. So, you know, the power was a confrontation about him coming in so late. So he probably hopped back on her behind, you know, about what you're doing, what you want to do, you know. And then one thing, you know how people get angry and they just say stuff without thinking about what they said? And then what happened is she popped out them little words like, that's why this baby probably ain't yours anyway, Nick, you know, that word I don't like to use.
Yeah.
You know. And so that automatically probably sent him off into a rage, and it just got heated and heated from there. And the more he thought about it, you know, pushed him over the edge. So
Or he could have been, you know, going on about, you need to have your ass at this house taking care of this baby, and I don't know, you know, what you're concerned about what I'm doing for. I'm paying all the bills. You living here for free anyway. And then, you know, a woman, you know, if it looks as though she doesn't have any independence and you mention it to her, oh, she'll throw that back at you. Motherfucker, I don't have to stay here. Fuck you, hell. This ain't your goddamn baby. No way.
Yeah, that would be funny if that's how they were discussing the paternity, you know, as opposed to, let's say, he found out prior to her coming home at 2 a.m. and he's waiting around to discuss it and she's making him wait. If she told him that at that particular time, look, the guy snapped. As far as I'm concerned, he went through a psychological breakdown.
I mean, and you have to consider, how old was he anyway?
Well, if he's still active in the NFL, he had to be no older than 30, 31.
I think he was in 25. Yeah, I often say he in his mid-20s.
He was 25. She was 22.
Yeah.
To me, that was too young to play house in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, hell, you're 25 in the NFL. You've been in the league for a while. You're used to, now you should be used to making the money and all the spoils that come with it. So, you know, the only time you really need a woman is when you're going out for social events. You don't really need anyone living in your house or living on you. I mean, hell, you're 22, 25 years old. You're not really ready for that stuff. I can use myself, for example. I mean, if I made that type of money every year, I don't know that if I would be married right now. You know, it's just
he had worked very hard to get a $2 million contract.
No, he didn't.
Huh?
No. If he's only got a $2 million contract, he's a pauper. The thing is,
Now, my information came from Likas. Likas was taught, did a show on.
But if he
on,
did
so
$2
he,
million, Rich, he's a pauper.
$2 million is still a lot of money.
Yeah. But he's still a pauper because he's an NFL athlete. The thing is when he was, ever since he's been about 13 or 14, he was playing Pop Warner. They've been after him. He's been treated like a little girl all his life. He has no sense of responsibility. He's as narcissistic as the broad. So, but he couldn't have been that important because in today's salary, $2 million a year, you give that to the janitor in the stadium. But the thing is, he didn't have a sense of responsibility. He was stupid like most men if they get a girl pregnant. And the girl is as parasitic as any other chick for allowing herself to give birth. But to make $2 million a year, and, you know, to us it's a lot of money, Rich. But the thing is, 68% of athletes, they lose their fortune. I think it's 68%. Either 68% get divorced or 68%. Just are broke, I think. Oh, yeah, I think 68% are broke 5 years after they retire.
Right. In other words, they have nothing. So $2 million, I understand what you're saying comparatively, but nevertheless, that was considered a success for him. $2 million a year would put him in the 1%. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but compared to the other 99% of the other players, he's a pauper.
Well, yeah, okay. But the thing is, what I would like to understand is that now if she told him it's not your child, now I can understand some embarrassment, and and understanding, yeah, he wasn't really a man. He was raised by a single mother. That was another point that came out. But at that point, Joe, now you said you've thrown women's asses out of your house. That's
physically
what he should have done.
Right.
Well, maybe since she, well, yeah, throw her ass out. Even if he takes the baby to some.
No, he's still paying child support. He could throw all the way to China. He's still got to pay alimony. I mean, child support.
Okay, now see, that's something that wasn't clear. He was paying child support?
And no, wasn't that what you were saying, or Eric?
No, he wasn't paying child support.
She was a live-in girlfriend.
Yeah, they were living.
Right. That's what I thought. So this is why I'm saying, once she said to him, it's not your child, then, of course, in a sense, that could have broken all ties. But then if he thought, well, this bitch has deceived me, and you know, she's made a fool out of me, I'll show her. Now,
right.
I can see that angle, too. So there are two ways one can go with this, but obviously he went with it the way he did. But do you guys see what I'm saying? He could have said, oh, this is not my child? Well, you know, kick a field goal with her ass, metaphorically, of course.
Yeah.
And get her out of his house.
Was he paying any kind of alimony, palimony or child support?
No.
She's got a child by him. He knows it. She knows it. He's not paying any child support.
No, because she's living with him.
Well, that doesn't matter. They can still get a court order for.
Yeah, but see, what happens is though, usually when and this is what I find out. Usually when the courts and child support get involved.
In other words, she was never separated from him.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No. See, right. And that's what I'm saying. Usually when child support and all get involved is when the mother's by herself and
right.
she goes to apply for some help, you know, some welfare. And then the state takes over and pushes the issue about child support.
So, in other words, okay, I get it. This is coming a little bit clearer now. So, in other words, she was fucking somebody else, got pregnant, and made him think that he was the father.
Apparently, that's what he thought. Yes.
Yeah.
And then she broke it to him in the heat of the argument.
Well,
okay.
Where I'm making that, I'm introducing that as a means of a reason or a rationale as to why he shot her at that time. We don't know when she revealed it to him.
Hmm.
But we do know they were arguing about it during that time.
Well,
so.
We know they had an argument, but the papers don't say. Whether
no,
or not
his mother,
huh?
No, his mother said they were arguing about paternity of the baby.
Oh, okay.
Because he didn't feel like the baby was his.
Well, no, for the first, Eric, you said he was questioning the paternity.
Yes, he was.
He could have been questioning her prior to this night. She could have been dodging his questions. He
right.
finally got a hold of her, and now they continued with the questioning. I just introduced this particular concept as
Joe,
the first time he found out, and if he found out this way, I can certainly understand how he had a breakdown right then and there.
And she broke it to him like a nan-nan-nan-nan, you
yeah,
know
probably.
What? Yeah, I got you. Now, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Hey, look here. You gonna do with that? You don't want to know.
Okay.
Look, if he pulled it out, she probably dared him to do it. You know.
Oh, she was a. She was a mouthy woman.
Oh, she was.
She probably dared.
If you look at it from another standpoint, all right, there's. He's the one with the nice condo. She's staying in the condo, and, you know, I don't know how long they had been seeing each other or whatever, but he's fucking her. They enjoying each other or whatever. She doing her damnedest to get pregnant and leech onto his money. And, you know, he's only thinking, hey, you know, I'm in the NFL. I can get pussy however I want to, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So she comes up with the get pregnant to get rich quick scheme. So it works. She's now living in this nice condo, and the baby this, the baby that, and the next thing you know, they get into it because, hey, you know, he's still 25 years old and still running wild, and she apparently she was still doing her thing too. If there was a question of the paternity test, the paternity. So maybe he see his dumb ass, and from the very beginning he should have brought this up from the very beginning. Fuck her feelings. Fuck making her feel bad, making her feel like a whore, the whore she was, because hell, she was fucking him with unprotected dick anyway. So who cares? So. She should have been looking out for her own best interest. The only thing she was thinking about was, hey, I guess this beats going to Miami and waiting for NBA All-Star Weekend to try to catch somebody. So I can get this sucker right here.
You know what? Last night I was on the Dean School of Dating show, and Dean interacts with what's her name, the Ebony Princess a lot.
Yeah, he goes
on
her
show. One of the points I brought up to Dean is that instead of men being nervous and having to be retrained by Dean, just like he played a tape where the woman was just really trying to retrain a guy, which is crazy, I said the guy should just pay for the pussy. And we came to the conclusion that it cost about $150 for a prostitute. And I argued against Dean and his guys that when you get a prostitute, you get a professional, not this amateur that you've got to try to impress to get sex from. And I think we ended up sort of with a stalemate because they kept talking about getting sex for free. But I said it's not for free. If the guys have to go through all that stress, and that was one of the things that Dean had pointed out, he was training guys to not be scared of women. But I don't think you can train guys to enjoy rejection. I think rejection is just like pain. It is pain. So I don't think it's possible. Now, you can teach people to cope with it maybe a little bit better, but you can't blame guys for not wanting to be rejected. But, what I put on the table, well, for the professionalism and the go-away and the acceptance, you know, while you're doing the act, and possibly the avoidance of STDs and certainly herpes, is that you just pay a prostitute. Now, I think all of this comes into play because it really deals with the male-female paradigm. But you see, Dean was just arguing that he's teaching his guys how to get the ass, and I'm saying leave that rancid ass alone. And just pay for it. I don't know. Does that make any sense to you guys?
Well, you're not. Yeah, because I've listened to his show, and he's trying to teach men how to be alpha males so that they don't have to pay in order
but
to.
But not have relationships, Joe. Just get ass. See, that's
no,
what.
No, it's to have relationships, too, because he says, in order to have the good relationship, you have to be the alpha male, which I objected to, because in order to be the alpha male, you always have to keep your girl in check, which means you can't really trust her. And if you start being nice to the girl, who then realizes that this alpha male is letting loose of the reins, she's now going to show her ass. So in other words,
that's a good point, but now again, last night he wasn't dealing with relationships. We made that very clear. It was just about getting.
Okay, so in terms of the getting the ass, I don't disagree with you. If you just want to have the ass, I don't have any problem with anybody getting a prostitute.
Exactly, so, and that's what I was telling him and his boys, and they were saying, well, no, you don't have to pay for it. I said, but you do have to pay for it. And I say, you trying to train the guys is no different from. And by the way, I also asked him, was the test that the women give to the guys valid? Is there any validity, is there any redeeming quality of the so-called test that the women are testing the guys with? And he said no, that was a firm no, it's just bullshit. I said, well, they shouldn't have to succumb to that. Nor should they have to succumb to your teaching. And I invited him to your show, Eric, if you don't mind. I told him, and they said they would check
fine.
It out.
That's fine.
But, yeah, because we talk about solutions, I said the solution to it would be for the guys to just pay a prostitute.
Yeah,
and that way they get a professional.
Show,
excuse me?
That's not the thrust of his show.
Well, last night it was.
Yeah, well, okay, but ordinarily. his show is about teaching guys so that they can become these alpha males, so that they don't have to go around begging for sex, that the women will search them out because they're alpha males and they don't have, you know, all that kind of good stuff.
Well, I think you made a good point about the alpha male, and that's true. That's what alpha, and I pointed out, too, the animal analogy breaks off very early because human beings can actually create their own environment. Animals may basically follow instinct and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
human
true.
Beings, I gave the example of us flying 7 miles in the air in comfort, eating and having a good time on a jetliner. That's unnatural, but we create that. We create our environment. So, I mean, I just mean using the animal analogy, and I think Charlotte used that once upon a time.
Yeah.
That breaks down real quickly with human beings.
Well, naturalists use that as an example, too. They say, you know, the mammals mate for life, and sometimes those mammals that don't mate for life, the reason why they don't is because they go for the more powerful interloper. And they like to compare that with the Homo sapiens. Yeah, so they make a good comparison that way.
All right. Well, y'all, I got 8 minutes left. So we're going to end it right there. We're going to pick this up again Monday on open night because I think we got some more we've got to be said on this one.
All right. Well, have a great one. It's raining
All right,
out here in L.A.
Yeah, it's raining here, too, so I feel the pain.
The damn big cloud. All right, you guys, take it easy. Talk to you later.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, y'all
all
guys.
Right.
You too. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, y'all. Another great show. I know y'all was looking for a lot of jokes and laughing on Fun Friday, but no, not tonight. We had some other things we needed to talk about. So, and with that being said, you know, I think we got a lot of it out, but we still need to talk some more about this gun control stuff and the ladies and the men and how to you know, cope with each other, deal with each other, get to know each other a little bit better, things of that nature, you know? So, yeah. I got a shout out I got to give too in a minute, but, you know, there's one little other story I wanted to tell y'all about real fast though. You know, now, there's a funeral home, y'all, in Dallas, Texas, and it's going to start coming on one of the channels. I forgot. One of the cable channels called The Best Funeral Ever. And apparently, in this funeral home, it's going to be on TV, so if it gets strong enough ratings, they're going to pick it up for a full series. But anyway, this funeral home, it supposedly helps each family plan an unconventional service followed by what he calls a wild WILD party. You know, some funerals have included a barbecue-themed memorial featuring a sauce fountain, and one was held inside a boxing ring. And an extravagant funeral with options includes a $35,000 gold-plated coffin, y'all. $35,000. Wow. You know. I mean, they create scenarios, you know, for the family. So, you know, one involved a deceased slamming a slam dunking a basketball. I kind of wonder how that happened, you know. But it's just, you know, they're basically their plan is to make these families extremely happy at the worst moments of their lives, you know. And I ain't gonna lie to you. Hey, if the price is right, hey, I tell you, when I get ready to go, I might have to go and see them. Now, y'all, the ones who know me, if I happen to, you know, stand up in the coffin while we doing all of the thing, don't get upset. I'm just checking out the scenery before I leave. I'm trying to tell you. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, man. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying. You know, and, hey, y'all know Hall & Oates, the group? Yeah, they was back good in the 70s and 80s, right? Well, you know, they've been involved in a face-biting feud. That's right. It's not that Hall & Oates, y'all. This happened to be two other people named Robert Oates and Scott Hall. Well, Robert decided he was going to bite his neighbor Scott in the face. And the reason why he bit him, because Scott wouldn't testify at Robert's trial, upcoming trial. So he decided to bite him in the face. Look, and it was so bad. He had to, they had to use my favorite tool, y'all. They tased that ass. Y'all know I'm all about tasing. I love to tase. Yeah. Raya, 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 Raya. Okay, y'all had to get that out. Yeah, see, I can still laugh, y'all. I can still laugh. Woo. But you know what? It's all good. It's all good in the neighborhood. You know, I'm finna shut it down here in a few minutes. Oh, yeah. You know, there's some physicists, y'all, trying to see if we're living in the Matrix. And as I'm saying, they're trying to see if we really live in the Matrix. I don't know what the hell they've been smoking or what they've been talking on or playing in. But look, I can tell them we ain't in no damn Matrix. You know? But they want to see if we live in somebody else's computer simulation. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what the hell they smoking, but they need to get up off it because it's messing with their brain cells. Okay, we don't live in the Matrix. Okay, we don't live in the Matrix. So y'all spend your money on something else because that is not it. Okay, I got one more if I get out of here. Roommate killed over pork chop. Let's see, and it's in, well, Florida, but I don't know what y'all be doing down there in my home state, boy. Sometimes y'all just make me shake my head. A Florida man has been charged with second-degree murder after shooting his drunken roommate in an argument over how to cook pork chops. I mean, really? How to cook pork chops? Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, the guy that did the shooting was 55. The guy he shot was 35. You see, he argued, the two had argued about the meal, and police said the 55-year-old took out a 22 caliber Ruger rifle and fired at least three shots, with two of them hitting the 35-year-old. Now, look, they're only pork chops, people, all right? Don't be getting in fights over pork chops and killing folk. It ain't worth it. Hell, because somebody going to eat them pork chops any damn way. You won't get to eat them, but somebody will. So stop fighting over dumb stuff, okay? Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay. Anyway, I had to get those in real fast. I want to thank part of the council for showing up tonight. Hey, once again, like I said, we had to get some things off our chest tonight, and I think we had a very good show. But we'll be finishing it up come Monday on open mic. So y'all join us on open mic Monday, because trust me, we talk about some things. I want to thank my guests in the chat room, those out there listening. You know, hey, once again, your support is really appreciated, and I love you all. Now, like I say, before I always get out of here, and I think it means a little bit more tonight, you know, when you see that special someone, make sure you hug them, kiss them, tell them you love them, okay? Because, like I always say, you never know when they won't be here, you know? So, and if that's the case, then, you know, you want to let them know now so you won't regret not telling them how you felt later. Okay? All right. Well, that's it for me tonight, y'all. And I want everybody to have a good weekend. And I will see y'all Monday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Until then, I'm out of here.